Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Slaying with me too. Tiffany and you. Time to go to class at the Tiffany and you. Once a week on Wednesday at the Tiffany and you. Talking college sports at the Tiffany and you. White boy is the deacon at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. White boy stew. I am the host at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. We are all about our students at the Tiffany and you. Ooh. Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Slaying with me too. Tiffany Network. Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10 U. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Facebook and Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, White Boy Stew, on Twitter at @GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name at Stuart Thompson. That's with the EW, not the U. As always, I am joined by my co-host Slayton. Slayton, how's it going? How was your college football weekend? Obviously, we watched some football together, and how's life?
Life's pretty good. Been a good football weekend. We're going to talk about that Georgia Tech win. That was awesome to watch.
Yes, it was.
We'll get into that.
Hey, I was cheering for that man to get in the end zone like Florida was about to score. I swear, because I have obviously talked about how much I dislike Florida State and what they represent and all that. So they finally took an L, so we're definitely going to touch on that game. But we got some games before that game we won't talk about. So go ahead and hop right into it. The first game we're going to talk about is number 20 Cal at UCLA. This was on Thursday, and Rosen ended up with a school record 34 completions in the passing game. UCLA led 26-10 at half, and they pretty much dominated the whole game, end up taking the victory 40-24. Like I said, Rosen had a great game. Ends up going 34-47 for 399 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And UCLA's rush finally got it going. 42 carries, 174 yards, and 1 touchdown. And that was led, actually, not by Paul Perkins this week. It's another guy, and of course, it's somebody with a funky name, of course, again. So I'm just going to give my best attempt at it. So-so Jambino. Couldn't tell you, so we're just going to say so-so. He had 18 carries for 79 yards and the touchdown. And Perkins also had a pretty good game, 11 carries for 73 yards and no touchdowns. You look at Cal, though, they really didn't have that bad of a game either. Jared Goff, 32 of 53, 295 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. So he didn't throw no picks, so he didn't really lose him the game. And Cal's rush also had a pretty decent night, 35 carries for 131 yards, but no touchdowns. And that was led by Khalifani Muhammad with 8 carries, 55 yards, and no touchdowns. So, Slayton, you look at this game, stat-wise, they were close, but UCLA just made more big plays, had more touchdowns in the end, and take the victory. So, good win for UCLA, a team that had been struggling the past couple of weeks. They got another good, solid win against a ranked opponent in their conference, so Slayton, can you see UCLA maybe keep competing with the good teams in this? Not necessarily saying Cal's a great team out of the Pac-12, but they're ranked 20th in the nation, so they have to be somewhat decent. So what do you think about this one?
Well, I mean, anytime you get a game like that out of Rosen, you're going to compete with anybody.
True.
So we'll see what happens with that. I don't think that UCLA is necessarily worse than everybody in the Pac-12.
No.
I mean, they've got just as much talent as anybody else. Mm-hmm. You got Rosen playing lights out. I'm pretty sure they could be anybody in this division, including Utah and all of them. So, Cal, tough loss for them. You like to see Goff do more. You really do. Him coming in as that veteran, he's got to lead his team on the road, and he didn't get it done.
Yeah, like I said, had some good stats, necessarily didn't play bad, just didn't make enough plays to get over a scrappy Bruins team. That's what I would call them. They're scrappy. They responded well, and good for them. So, next game we'll touch on is also a Pac-12 game. And we talked about this game a little bit last week. And that was number three, Utah, visiting USC. And USC was actually favored in this game over the number third team in the nation. And so everybody's thinking, these people who are predicting games in Vegas are absolutely crazy. They're smoking something they shouldn't have been smoking or something. You're just thinking, what are they thinking? And USC comes out, and they play pretty well. USC led at halftime 28-17. You look at Utah, Utah hangs, but the turnovers end up screwing them over and killing them at the end. And USC ends up with a pretty impressive victory, 42-24. You look at USC's offense, Cody Kessler, not a bad game, 21 of 28, 264 yards, and one touchdown, but no interceptions. I see the 21 of 28, and that tells me that they kept them upright, which is something they've had a problem doing this season. USC's rush game also played very well, 45 carries, 116 yards, four touchdowns. That was led by the duo of Ronald Jones, 15 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. And you had Justin Davis with 19 carries for 66 yards and one touchdown. So USC's offense definitely responded, but that wasn't the bright side of the game. It was USC's defense. They absolutely shut down Utah. Travis Wilson, 24 of 36, 254 yards and two touchdowns. But the killer for him was the four interceptions. You just cannot throw four interceptions in these big games and expect to win against a talented USC team. Not necessarily ranked or a scary USC team, but they obviously still have talent. You can't do that. He also had 13 carries for only 35 yards and no touchdowns, so he didn't really do anything with his legs either. Utah's rush game didn't really do much. 28 carries for 99 yards and only one touchdown. That was led by Devontae Booker. 14 carries, 62 yards, and no touchdowns. Like I said, USC's D, they were the ones who shined in this game. Particularly Cameron Smith, he had three of the four interceptions, had 122 interception yards, and one touchdown. So Slayton, USC's had a lot of problems come up so far this season. They responded well. Vegas obviously knew something. That's pretty obvious. They had to know something. You look at Utah, obviously disappointing for them. They kind of lose their top ranking in the Pac-12. I think they're now equal with a lot of other teams in that conference. So what do you think about this game? And necessarily, where did Utah go from here?
I believe that's the nail in the coffin for Utah. It's going to be hard to make a case with one loss with a 3-3 team.
We've seen them do this before too, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they pooped the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. That's what they did.
Yeah.
USC, congrats to them. They've had a heck of a run this year. Their drunken coach got kicked off the team by Pat Hayden.
Yep.
Pat Hayden's still on the board somehow. I don't know.
Yes, he is.
USC, good for them. They had a strong showing at Notre Dame last week, so good for them.
They're responding.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas knew something we all didn't. They had to have.
Yeah, whoever put out that line – I want to become their best friend because they could make me and you a lot of money because me and Slayton were going to lay some on Utah because we just thought there's absolutely no way that they lose or not necessarily lose, but not necessarily lose by the amount that they had it. But like we said, USC has responded. Congrats to them. That's going to be a big, big job because obviously you see not all is lost there on the field. They still have some pretty talented players. Now, obviously, they'll lose Kessler at the end of the year, but there's still some talent there. There's still some recruiting strengths there. So USC going to be a big job in the offseason. And as far as Utah, disappointing. Like I said, they kind of lose their footing in the Pac-12. Now they're kind of back in the mix with everybody else. So we'll see where they go from there. So Slayton, the next game we kind of touched on in the intro, that was number 9, Florida State, visiting Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech so far this season had been a disappointment. I believe they were 2-5. They were ranked high to begin the season, and they hadn't really been doing anything. And they come in this game, and they hang with Florida State the whole game. Florida State leads 16-10 and at halftime. And then Georgia Tech comes out the second half and responds. They goose egg Florida State. So Florida State does not score the whole entire second half. Florida State gets the ball with about a minute or two left. They drive down the field. They decide, hey, we want to attempt a 56-yard field goal attempt to try to win the game and not send this one into overtime. And they get it blocked. Lance Austin picks it up for the Golden Tech Yellow Jackets, and he takes it 78 yards for the touchdown to win the game. Georgia Tech wins the game 22-16. They knock off the top 10 ranked Florida State Seminoles. And what a day it is. It's being named Kick 6, the sequel. And I would totally agree with that because this was a big, big win for Georgia Tech and a big, big loss for Florida State. You look at Georgia Tech's offense, obviously they're not a passing offense. They run the wing tee. So 4 of 10, Justin Thomas in their pass game. Only 67 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So he really did not do anything for them in the pass game. Actually almost lost them the game, you could say. But he did pretty good on his legs, 13 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown. And like we said, they're not known for the pass game. They're known for the rush, and their rush game had a pretty big game. 49 carries for 261 yards and 1 touchdown. That was led by the duo of Marcus Marshall with 16 carries, 69 yards, and 0 touchdowns. And Clinton Litch, 6 carries, 52 yards, and no touchdowns. You look at Florida State, Georgia Tech's defense came to play, and we knew that if you shut down that one aspect of Florida State's offense, that they would have problems, and they did this game. Golson, 20 of 30, 210 for 0 touchdowns and 1 interception, so he did really not much, if anything, in the pass game. And finally, someone stops Florida State's run game. Their one strong point, 24 carries for 70 yards and 1 touchdown. Now was led, obviously, by Dalvin Cook. 17 carries for only 82 yards and a touchdown, so to his standards, not a good game for him. Golson played about what he's been doing. We said he wasn't going to win you the game, but he wasn't necessarily going to lose you the game. He had a turnover, but Florida State's offense just couldn't do anything. And Georgia Tech, they made adjustments at halftime, and a big, big, big win for Georgia Tech, but a bad, bad win for Florida State. No excuse. You shouldn't lose to a team that's 2-5. And it's not good for the ACC because now Clemson is the only undefeated left in a very, very weak division that I believe you'll have to be undefeated to go to the playoff in this division. So, Slayton, what do you think about this one? What about the ending? Another crazy ending. 2 weekends in a row now with crazy endings to the game in big games. So what do you think?
Man, it's hard to beat that ending. I just want to point out as well, Georgia Tech was my what's down for last week. I mean, they were. They were coming off 5 straight losses.
Hey, people are listening to the show. We tell Urban Meyer to start running the ball. What's he do? He starts running the ball. Hey, they're listening to us, Slayton.
I guess so. I mean, I had them coming off 5 straight losses. They're my what's down. It's hard to complain. How do you not have a what's down on that? They were 5 straight losses.
And they came in highly ranked.
And they did. I mean, this has been a terrible season for them. I mean, this will be the asterisk on their season, probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great play. It's probably the play of the year, in my opinion. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find another play like that.
I mean, you got Michigan State. There's some play. And we still got some games to go, and the stakes are only rising.
See, my opinion is Georgia Tech made a play. Michigan made a mistake.
That is true.
I guess that's my
– I can see where you come from with that.
I guess that's my whole thing. And Georgia Tech, it's hard to not make an opinion because they have had such a terrible season. And, I mean, they've lost to some terrible teams.
It's not good for Florida State.
No.
That's a bad L to take.
It's a no in the coffin for Florida State. Even if they come out and they beat Clemson, there's no making a case for losing to Georgia Tech.
Yep, I would definitely agree with you. Like I just said – you're going to be undefeated if you want to make the playoffs in the ACC, or you better be hoping that one of the other Big Five conferences drops 2 games. Their representative has 2 games dropped.
Yep.
Because if they don't, they're going to be hard-pressed just with their schedule, and their conference is just super weak. It really is. But, hey, finally Florida State will not be overranked no more because they finally took an L. Like I said, they was going to, and I believe they'll take 1 or 2 more this season for sure, and definitely 1 more. So – Slayton, let's go ahead and move on to our 2 SEC games we want to talk about real quick. First one, this was a big game in the SEC West. This was number 15, Texas A&M, going into number 24, Ole Miss. Ole Miss coming off what some people would consider a bad loss to Memphis. A&M coming off getting embarrassed against Alabama. So this was really a game of who responded better. And Slayton, it's pretty clear who responded better. That was Ole Miss. Ole Miss led the game 16-3 at half. It ended up being kind of a sloppy game, but Ole Miss D responds. And I think what really put Ole Miss over in this one is their run game finally showed up. It really did. So Ole Miss ends up taking the victory 23-3. Swag Kelly comes out, doesn't have that great of a game again. 26 of 41, 241, two touchdowns, but the three picks are killer. Once again, has a lot of interceptions. And Slayton, he really didn't do nothing with his legs. Again, 9 carries, 23 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So the stock on Chad Kelly has definitely fell in the past couple weeks. He has not played well with his legs or with his arms. So look for him to try to start playing better. But like I said, it didn't matter what Kelly did this week because Ole Miss's run game finally showed up. 51 carries, 230 yards, and 0 touchdowns. Now, the 0 touchdowns is not good, but you like the yardage. You like the carries. That means they were just pounding it, running the clock when they got the lead, sitting on it, and that's what you want to see. That was led by the duo of Jalen Walton, 22 carries for 97 yards, and then you had Judd with 12 carries, 68 yards, and no touchdowns. So, like I said, Ole Miss played good defense, and they ran the ball, chewed the clock. So a good game plan going in this game. You look at A&M, their offense just didn't respond again. Allen, 12 of 34, 88 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. So second week in a row, I was high on this guy, Slayton. And I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I am not high on him anymore because these past two games against good teams, he has not responded well whatsoever. And A&M's had the same problem as Ole Miss. They can't run the ball, and that did not change this game. 27 carries for 58 yards and no touchdowns. That was led by the duo of Trey Carson with 14 carries and only 48 yards, and James White with 9 carries and 31 yards. So Slayton, Ole Miss responded well, played good against a team that's ranked higher than them, that won't be ranked higher than them anymore. As far as A&M, Slayton, this is the second season in a row. They've kind of built some momentum, kind of built some stamina, had themselves kind of in the driver's seat in a way, and they just haven't responded well, and they've dropped some big games. So where does A&M go from here? They're in the same spot Ole Miss is now, really.
They are.
They're a solid team, but they're not great.
I think the real thing with Ole Miss is they ask way too much of their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, even when Bo Wallace was there, he was asked to be a hero, and he was not hero material.
No, definitely not. He was interception material.
Well, I mean, even Kelly, he's not hero material. They've got good receivers that'll make plays on the fly.
Yeah, Treadwell had a good game.
So, I mean, you can be a chuck and pray quarterback in that system if you've got 4 good receivers.
Yeah.
But I think they asked way too much of Kelly. He should be a manager, not a hero.
Yeah.
And we learned that in this game because they came out and they ran the ball effectively. And that's something we haven't seen out of them this year and even half of last year.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And A&M, I don't know what happened to them. They got dismantled all the way around. That pass rush was getting shut down. Even though Kelly was getting flushed out, he was still getting rid of the ball.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say about A&M. It looks sloppy. That's not an A&M team I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, I just thought the offense was a whole lot better than what it showed. The offense has been a disappointment. I knew the defense wasn't necessarily up to SEC standards as far as West teams, but I thought their offense would be able to sling it around a little bit and keep them in the games. And like I said, Ole Miss and A&M, they're in the same spot. They've had their chances to take the hold of the SEC West, and they just haven't done it, and that's why they're middle of the road and they're not the top of the SEC West. I mean, it's games like this and games like Ole Miss has lost that's the difference. It really is. So go ahead and talk about this game real quick before we talk about your boys real quick, Slayton. In this game, it ended up being a really good game. A lot of action, a lot of drama. I think it probably surprised a lot of people too. And me and you watched this game together Saturday.
We did.
And that was Tennessee Volunteers visiting number 8 Alabama. Slayton, this game's tied 7-7 at half. And you're thinking, Tennessee's hanging in there. They're playing well. And basically the game plan for Tennessee was make Jacob Coker beat them, hold Derrick Henry down, hold the run game down. And Coker beat them towards the end, made 2 nice passes on some 2 big plays on their last drive to take the lead. He didn't have no touchdowns, but that drive, he made some big plays to get them in scoring position, and Henry finished it off, and then the D held like they usually always do. And Alabama ends up pulling the victory out 19-14, but a good game for Tennessee. You look at Alabama's offense, like I said, they made Coker beat them, and he did, not necessarily stat-wise, though. 21-27, 247 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. Also had 7 carries for negative 26 yards. Now, obviously, those weren't designed run plays, but Tennessee's pass rush, this is probably their best game they've had. They were all over Coker all day. So I think that's why for the most part. They held Coker in check and didn't really let Alabama get that many big plays. And they did a good job on Alabama's run game, too. They had 42 carries for 117 yards and two touchdowns. Henry had 28 carries for 143 yards and two touchdowns. Now, obviously, they had some negatives like Coker with the negative 26 that hurts the total. So, Henry, not necessarily had a bad game, but he necessarily wasn't getting those big chunk plays like they always do. They held him in check for the most part, kept him out of the end zone for the most part. Like I said, one of his touchdowns was towards the very end of the game. Look at Tennessee. Their offense, I think they played pretty well. They moved the ball on a really good Alabama defense. It wasn't like they were just scoring on BS plays. They were really moving the ball and setting some good things up. Look at Dobbs, 13 of 22, 171 yards, and one touchdown, zero interceptions. That's about what he's averaging in the past game, so no surprises there. I think what maybe hurt Tennessee offensive-wise it was his carrying 16 carries for only 19 yards and no touchdowns, and he did lose the fumble on the last drive. As far as Tennessee's run game, they actually played pretty well. 39 carries for 132 yards and one touchdown, led by Hurd with 18 carries, 92 yards, and one touchdown. Those were big boy yards. So Slayton, the offense might have done just enough to get the victory, but I think the big storyline here is Tennessee's special teams, their kicking game. Medley, 0 of 3 on field goals, and Griffith for the Alabama Crimson Tide was 2 of 2 with field goals, and that is what ended up being the difference. So Medley makes some field goals. Tennessee might have walked out of Tuscaloosa with a big, big win. So Slayton, necessarily, what do you think about this one? I'm trying to think, like, do you see Bama being the representative in the SEC, and can you hang your hat if you're Tennessee on this game to really prove that they might not be putting the W's up, but they truly might almost be there?
I mean, at least they're competing. If they got a Girl Scout out there that can kick kicks, they need to put her on the field.
Right.
I mean, 0-for-3 is terrible.
Hey, had a tryout. That's what Florida did.
Well, they need to do something. They need to go to the soccer field and see who's kicking.
Right.
Because they make those, they win the game.
Yep.
And, I mean, heck, even if you make 2/3 of them, you win the game.
Yep.
So, it's hard to say that Bama won this game, really. I mean, I hate to say that, but I really think Tennessee lost this game.
Yeah.
So,
again.
I mean, it's like clockwork, but that's what they do. Bama, they got it done, but I don't see them beating LSU. I really don't.
Well, I know you don't, but I do. But we have a week to sit on that. Alabama and LSU play next week. They both have a bye this week. So, obviously, my boys didn't play this week. They have a big one coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that one here in a little bit. So, Slayton, your boys played. It was they played Kansas State at their house. Ended up coming with a decent victory, a decently impressive one, I would say, 23-9. Another good win for Texas. They're on the way to be bowl eligible, Slayton. You got to like at least they're making some progress and some improvement.
I'll tell you, we can't ever just win a game. We always got to keep it close.
Yeah, you were struggling at Top Hog there for a little while.
I tell you, I mean, we were at 16-9 there for a while, and I thought for sure this was going to be a comeback victory for Kansas State, and I hated to admit it, but that's just Texas football this year. I don't know what it is. We keep letting everybody either hang around or we blow people out. I don't understand.
Or get blown out.
Yeah, I had to throw that in there. So, but, yeah, I mean, good win for Texas. They got it done.
The way I look at it is every win Texas gets from here on out, Charlie Strong just putting a check and going, this is reasons why I should stay here. This is the reason why I should stay here. So,
yeah.
So, like I said, good win for Texas. So, let's go ahead and jump into our quick hits. Real quick, we had Iowa State at number 2, Baylor. Final score, 45-27, Baylor. Baylor had a big first half. They sputtered, but they ended up doing enough to pull the victory out, but they end up losing their starting quarterback for the rest of the season. So, Slayton, do you think Baylor still got enough to go all the way?
I believe Baylor finishes undefeated, unless they lose to Oklahoma State, which is a possibility.
Even with the backup quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma State's going to be a tough game for them because they're in Stillwater. But other than that, I don't see anybody that they would lose to, even TCU.
I got to see what the other quarterback's talking about, but I've been very high on Baylor this year. And at the same time, it's not necessarily all about their quarterback. They still have a pretty good defense, too. So you can't forget about that. So I'm not saying they're just going to go away because their quarterback got hurt. But Russell was having a very, very good season. So I think it's going to hurt him a little bit. So next game was Western at number 5, LSU, and it was pouring rain the whole entire time. It was like a monsoon down there. They're getting a little bit of the hurricane that hit Mexico. Western kept up with them for a decent amount of the game, probably to about halfway through the third, and LSU started taking off on them. Final score ended up being 48-24 net, 26 carries for 150 yards and one touchdown. Slayton, another great game for him, even if it was raining, and a good effort by Western.
Well, perfect conditions for LSU.
At night.
Well, perfect conditions for LSU. I mean, Western, they're built on the pass.
Yep.
You're not going to throw well in a monsoon.
Nope.
So, good job for LSU. They beat Western.
And good for Western. Good for Western to hang in there, even with the elements and everything just going against them. So, not a bad L for Western. Obviously, a very tough team in LSU. So, Slayton, the next game, holy cow. Number 6, Clemson visits Miami. We're like, okay, Miami might can make this a game with that at their house. Wrong. Clemson goes in there and drums them 58-0. Golden gets fired. That's Miami's worst loss in school history. That's saying something because University of Miami's been around for a long time. So, Slayton, we know Clemson's a good team, probably the best team in the ACC, but where does Miami go from here?
I don't know. They went from the U to the
to the
I mean, Clemson dismantled them. I hate to say I watched as much of this game as I did because it was just Clemson just beating up on them the whole game.
Which, hey, me being a Florida fan, I'm not necessarily sad Miami sucks because obviously that's a little bit of a rivalry for them. We ain't played them in a while, but that's still a rivalry. But I want Miami to be good because they can compete in the ACC and make the ACC a little bit more interesting than besides just two teams. So, next game, Indiana at number 7, Michigan State. Indiana kept it close at first, and Michigan State ends up having a big fourth quarter. They scored 24 points and end up making the score look pretty bad, 52-26. Slayton, Michigan State's letting teams hang around with them, but they're putting W's up on the board, and that's what matters.
I'll tell you, I was sweating this game because I thought Indiana was going to pull it off.
And Indiana's competed with some teams this year.
They have, and they've shown that they can put up points when they need to.
Yep.
So Michigan State, they let them hang around way too long for comfort.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to get Michigan State. If they let one of these teams hang around too long, they're going to end up losing. But they won this week, so good for them. Next game was Washington at number 10, Stanford. We thought Washington might keep this one close for a little while, but I feel like Stanford pretty much dominated this game for the most part. Hogan, another good game with two TDs, and Stanford takes it 31-14.
Yeah, they're back to playing good old boy football. I mean, they're running the ball effectively. They're getting good play out of their quarterback. Good win for Stanford.
Yep, for sure. Next game, number 17, Oklahoma had Texas Tech come in, and Oklahoma puts up another drumming, Slayton. Y'all really pissed off Oklahoma when y'all beat them. They win 63-27, and I think Oklahoma's on a mission. I really see them competing with TCU and Baylor at the end.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they're just looking to play spoiler. I mean, a one-loss Big 12 is never going to make the playoff. So we'll see what happens.
They could. There's a lot of things that could happen. So let's get in our little SEC quick hits real quick. Had Auburn at Arkansas. It ended up being a pretty good game. Went to 3 overtimes. And Arkansas ends up winning 54-46. Good for Arkansas. Any loss you're taking at Auburn at this point is not good.
I mean, it's a total question.
At least
mark.
You put up some points.
Yeah, but I mean, is this speaking to how good Arkansas is or how bad Auburn is?
I think
is?
It's just speaking on how decent to slash terrible both of these teams are. So we'll go ahead and jump into the next game. And these are also two teams that are absolutely horrible. We had Missouri visiting Vanderbilt. I'm just going to say for the record, if you bought tickets to this game, if you went and attended this game, or if you watched this game on television, I apologize to you. I don't know how you did it because I would have fell asleep. Vandy ends up pulling out the victory 10-3. Good for Vandy. It's an SEC win. The first of Derek Mason's tenure at Vandy, so good for him. But Slate, Missouri hasn't scored a touchdown in a couple of weeks now. Things are not looking good in Missouri.
We knew this one was going to be sloppy. We had sloppy pick scores last week.
We did.
So good for Vandy. I mean, you beat the worst.
It's an SEC win. That's where I'm going to take it. So last game is Kentucky at Mississippi State. We thought Kentucky might go in there and compete. I think you had Mississippi State winning this one, and they did. Dak Prescott had an absolutely great game, 348 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. So he finally got to shine in a game, and Kentucky went down there and did what Kentucky does on the road, not play good. And Mississippi State pulls this one out 42-16.
Well, it's Starkville. I mean, it's just a great environment. I mean, it's hard for any team to go in there.
If Kentucky wants to be taken seriously, though, this is a game they have to win.
I get what you're saying, but I figured Kentucky going into Starkville was going to be a tough game anyways. Even with them being decent, and I figured they would lose.
Yeah, well, like I said, Kentucky usually doesn't play good on the road. They got Tennessee this week, so we'll see if they respond. So that's all of our reviews slash quick hits for this past weekend. Another great weekend. The lineup might not have been as great, but there ended up being some good endings and some good games. So always a great weekend of college football. I can't complain about any college football. So hop into our what's up and what's down, Slayton. I'm going to go ahead and give both of my what's up and my what's down. My what's up, Temple winning 24-14. Memphis, number 18, Memphis, I should say, 66-42. Toledo, number 19, 51-35. Number 21, Houston, 59-10. And so all four of those are the smaller conference teams, and they're all putting up, but besides Temple, put up high digits. So you'd like to see that, so you know they might be able to score with some of these big teams if they get the chance to play them. And also another great win was number 14, Oklahoma State, beating Kansas 58-10, not necessarily because Kansas is a great team, but because it was their homecoming. And for my what's down, they had a tragedy. A woman, she was drunk, and they're thinking maybe she wasn't the best upstairs. She ended up running into a crowd of people during the homecoming parade and injuring some people and also, unfortunately, killing some people. So our prayers to Oklahoma State, but at least they got a good win on homecoming. So just a little bit of light to shed, but that's my what's up and what's down this week. Slayton, what do you got for this week?
Yeah, my what's up, I'm going with the Big 12 and the American Conference for my what's up. Both are tied for the most undefeated teams in conference, strengthening the possibility that they're probably going to get a playoff bid.
Maybe.
So, well, I mean, that just means tougher games at the end of the season for them.
Very true.
So, good chance for them. Also want to go with Georgia Tech for getting the play of the week. I had them on my what's down. They turn around and do something good. I got to give them a what's up.
All I'm saying is we've done a bunch of what's down, and then the next week that team turn around and be our what's up because they flipped the script on us. They listening to us, I'm telling you.
Well,
they're like, man, we're a what's down on the 10 for 10 U. We can't be having that in our life. We got to step it up.
Exactly. So my what's down, the University of Miami. Whew. Boy.
It stank.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Stank.
This program, disarray. Al Golden's fired. Quarterback Brad Kaya out with a concussion, not looking to come back soon, probably.
Stadium's 45 minutes away from campus.
Yeah, I mean, the rumor mill's churning, man, giving a whole new meaning to when it rains, it pours for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, just not a good situation happening there whatsoever at the University of Miami. So, Slayton, I'm going to go through the AP poll real quick, and then we'll – instead of doing Jersey of the Week, because like we said last week, we've pretty much seen all the combinations, what everybody's rocking with this year. So we're going to go ahead and introduce a new segment, and we're going to give our top four teams every week. This is the four teams we think that are the highest chance to make it into the playoffs at this point. Now, obviously, it will change from week to week with teams losing, teams winning, and stuff like that. So go to AP poll, we'll do the top four real quick, and then we'll go into our picks, and that will be it. So, AP poll this week had a little bit of movement. Ohio State stays at one, Baylor stays at two. Clemson moves up with the big victory of Miami from 6-3. LSU moves up from number 5-4. TCU drops from 4-5. Michigan State comes up from number 7-6. Alabama moves up from 8-7. Stanford also makes a move from number 10 to number 8. Notre Dame makes an appearance in the top 10 once again. Moves up from 11 to number 9. We had Iowa getting in the top 10, Slayton. They are number 10. They move up from 12. My boys, hey, best bye week Florida's had in a long, long time. We didn't beat nobody. And we move up a couple spots in the ranking. We move up from 13 to number 11. So we're sniffing the top 10 again. Had Oklahoma State move up from number 14 to 12, so they're sniffing it up there as well. We had Utah, obviously the big drop of this week, falling from number 3 to 13. 13's about where we've seen teams fall when they lose the big game. They've been ranked high all season. Had Oklahoma move up from 17 to 14. We had Michigan stay the same with their bye week at number 15. Memphis jumps up two more spots to number 16. So Memphis is almost a top 15 team now. Florida State takes a pretty big drop, obviously, from number 9 to number 17. Slayton, that's a little bit more like where I like to see Florida State. That's about where they should have been to begin with, if you ask me. We had Houston, another small school, jumping up there. They jumped from 21 to 18, so they are now top 20. Ole Miss, with a good victory over A&M, comes back from number 24 to 19. Toledo drops a spot from 19 to 20. Temple jumps up a spot from 22 to 21. We had Duke jump up a spot from 23 to 22. Pitt jumps up two spots from 25 to 23. UCLA makes a jump from not being ranked. They were 28th to 24. And Mississippi State makes an appearance in the top 25 again. They were 26th last week unranked, and they are 25th this week. So, Slayton, that's the AP poll. Top four. You went a little, our top fours are completely different right now.
I hope so.
You went a different route than I did. The way I'm looking at it is these are the four teams that I can see winning their divisions and making it to the playoffs. So, my top four, as of right now, is Stanford, Ohio State, Bama, and Baylor. Now, I'm not putting a 1, 2, 3, or 4 on those. Those are just the four top teams I see making the playoffs right now. So, Slayton, I know you didn't go at it kind of how I did. Those are just the four I could see winning their divisions and making it to the playoffs. Obviously, you still got Memphis and all of them. We got to see how the playoff committee ranks them teams and see how they view their schedule and stuff like that. So, Slayton, maybe tell the people out there how you went about picking your top four and who's your top four.
Well, the way I went about it was is I made sure to look at who had the best chance of finishing undefeated and who is already undefeated right now.
Yep.
So I couldn't put Bama in just because of that. However, I got LSU in 7-0 right now out of the SEC. I've got Ohio State in at 8-0 out of the Big Ten. Baylor out of the Big 12 at 7-0. Even with their quarterback hurt, I still think that they have a good shot. That defense is on top of their game. I believe that they can hang with TCU on a bad night. And going into Stillwater, they got just as good a chance as anybody. So that's three of my four. I've got Clemson coming out at 7-0 of the ACC. They're going to have to finish undefeated if they want
to. Have to.
I mean, that's the only way. They drop a game to Florida State, it's over. ACC's done.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. If Clemson loses, though, I would love to see a Memphis or someone like that get in, because I don't believe that a one-loss team is more intriguing than an undefeated team on any level. Because I don't care what division or conference you're playing, it's hard to go undefeated.
It is.
And you should be rewarded for having that kind of season.
So you would be leaving out the ACC and the Pac-12? That's who you would leave out of the playoff?
More than likely. The Big Ten is weak as well. If there goes to be a three-way tie, if Ohio State loses to Michigan and you've got that three-way love triangle going on, they drop. I don't let them in.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, our top fours are probably going to change from week to week because there's so many big games still left to come. So I'm going to go ahead and take a commercial break. Real quick, make sure to check out all of our sponsors. Hit them up on Facebook. Look up their websites. Call them if you got to. Hit up somebody from the 10 for 10 Network if you need to, if you want to get in touch with these sponsors. So, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get fresh. It's time to get a little clean. We'll go to the man himself, the master, Jason Neely. 13 years of experience as a barber. Haircuts are $12, flat tops are $14. Located in White House, Tennessee at 147 Raymond Hirsch Parkway. Give Jason the master a call today at 615-440-3049.
What it do? It's your boy, White Boy Stew. And if you're having 10 for 10 Network withdrawal Sunday through Friday, it's okay, because here at the 10 for 10 Network, we have the antidote for you. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. If you like to follow Johnny on Twitter, it's at Johnny Showtime. If you want to follow me, White Boy Stew, on Twitter, it's at GoGators_SNT. So make sure to like and share, and you never know, you might just hear your name on the air.
Ever wanted some custom furniture or maybe some professional work done to give your house that country feel? Well, check out Johnson's Woodwork in Portland, Tennessee, where they take reclaimed oak and barn wood to spruce up your house. Give David Johnson a call today at 615-419-5350, where the wood is good. You looking for a place to train? Looking for a place to become a champion? Well, look no further, as UFC Gym is coming to Hendersonville, Tennessee in early September. UFC Gym offers all kinds of options and specialties for training, such as weights, self-defense, kids' classes, and even highly qualified training in jiu-jitsu. Go by there today or give them a call at 615-348-4150 and tell them the 10 for 10 sent you, because that's where champions are made.
Welcome back to the 10 for 10 You. Make sure to go check out all of our great sponsors. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Twitter and Facebook at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, White Boy Stew, on Twitter at GoGators_SNT. Or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name at Stuart Thompson. That's with the EW and not the U. You can follow my co-host Slayton at Twitter at Chris_Slayton. And if you want to follow him on Facebook, just smack the underdash out of his name and just look up Chris Slayton on Facebook, and that's how you find him. So Slayton, before I give my shout-outs, do you have any shout-outs that you would like to give for this week?
Yeah, I always shout out Maggie. I see her every day. That's who I shout out.
Yeah.
I'm going to shout out my coin, because he said that I didn't give him a shout out, so I'm going to give him a shout out right now.
Okay.
Matt McCoin in Washington, D.C., this is your shout out.
Yeah. Shout out to your boy, MC Coin. I'm going to shout out to you, Slayton, and Maggie, because if y'all don't know, for some reason, Dairy Queen serves gravy, and supposedly their fries are good with that. So shout out to them for introducing me to that, even though I didn't try it, but I can't lie, it looks somewhat appetizing.
Dude, you're lame for not trying that, at least one.
I was drinking a smoothie.
Hey, this is Tennessee. Try anything once.
Well, yeah, I guess it's true. I want to give a shout-out because, as everybody knows, this is Florida Georgia Week. So I want to give a shout-out to my boy C. Taylor sitting here right beside us listening while we record. Shout-out to Burns, and shout-out to Weston Boots. And, hey, if y'all want to come watch the game, you know where we at. So, Slayton. And a shout out to my family, of course, like I always do, because they hold me down and all that. And I want to give a non-shout out to Mother Nature for this terrible weather we got out here right now. Cold and wet and rainy. And that's not money-making weather for Stuart. So, yeah. So, Slayton, let's go ahead, hop into our picks real quick. We kind of flew through this show. We're kind of waiting on the month of November, because that's when all the big games go. And we might have to do 2 hours for those, because there's going to be some big, big games coming up here. We're kind of in the almost the last little rise before the climax of the college football season. It's crazy to think that we're already this deep into the season. But, hey, we've been keeping up with it. And I just, before we hop into our picks real quick, I just want to give a shout-out to everybody who supports 10 for 10U. If you download us, if you listen to us live, if you liked the Facebook page, if you say, hey, Stuart, I want you to talk about this team or that. Any way you communicate with us or support the 10 for 10 Network in any way, we appreciate it. So, first game in our picks, Slayton, is the 6-1 North Carolina Tar Heels at number 23 Pitt, who is also 6-1. I don't really know much about Pitt. I feel like they're more of a running game. I feel like their offense is probably not that great. And I'm probably going to say the same thing about North Carolina because it's the ACC. But since it's the ACC, I'm going to say North Carolina gets the upset, if you want to call it that, right here, 24-17.
See, I went the opposite way on that. I picked Pitt because I figured the run game would be strong.
Yeah.
I figured that they're going to try to eat clock and get out with their hat. I got to go in 21-17, Pitt.
So we're pretty close on the score there, just opposite ways. And by the way, last week I went 7-5. I did get my lock of the week, so I'm now 4-4 on my lock of the week, and that would put me at 64-27 overall. And Slayton, what was your record?
That makes us tied in overall at 64-27. 5-3 in locks and 9-3 in the previous week.
So, you've been doing better than me the past couple of weeks, so I got to step my game up.
I'm one game better than you in locks. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, and we're obviously the same in overall.
Yeah.
So, all right, so next game, you got some rooting interest in this one. That's West Virginia visiting number 5, TCU. I would say this game wouldn't be close, but TCU's let teams get close. And two, it's on a Thursday, so it's going to be kind of a funky game, I feel like. But I think TCU's got enough firepower to wheel this one out. Plus, I don't have much confidence in West Virginia. So, I got TCU in this one, 37-27. Slayton, what do you got for the Horned Frogs?
Yeah, I've got TCU winning big, 42-21. This is also going to be my lock of the week.
Okay.
So, I figure TCU's not going to lose at home, especially to West Virginia. If this was in Morgantown, they'd probably have a better shot, but it's not.
That is a good point. TCU, obviously, has won all their games at home, so they've played good at home. And this is a decently big game. Like you said, it's not as tricky as if they were at West Virginia. So,
yeah.
Next game, who knows what to make of these two teams. USC at Cal. I think USC just got more talent than Cal. Obviously, Cal's not a bad team. They got a decent quarterback. But, like I said, I think USC just got more talent. And I think USC has kind of got a rhythm going with the intern coach. So, I'm going to go 27-14 USC on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got to go USC. I picked against them last week, and it bit me in the rear end.
Yeah, me too.
So I've got USC winning 35-17 over Cal. I don't believe they've got enough firepower to win.
Yep, I don't either. So, Slayton, we're going to jump into this. I think this is one of the tricky games that Clemson could drop. That's number 3, Clemson visiting the 5-2 NC State. What are they, the Wolves?
Yeah, the Wolves.
The Wolves. The Wolf Pack, that's right. Like NWO, thanks for that little shout out there, right, real quick there, Cody. Like the red NWO back in the day. But anyway, Slayton, I've seen NC State pull some upsets before, and it's at their house. I think Clemson might be looking forward to playing Florida State. I believe they play next week or a week after that. They play here pretty soon. I think they might be looking a little forward. So I'm gonna take the upset here, Slayton. The Wolf Pack, 24-21 over Clemson.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I believe Clemson was probably ready for this game at halftime of the Miami game.
That is true.
They were probably
even go to the locker room.
That's what I'm saying. They were probably getting their game plan ready at that point. So,
I've got
Clemson going 35-14 over NC State. And this could be a trick game. You play that soft game at Miami, they may come out not prepared. But I hope so because I'm picking them.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's kind of a tricky game. I don't think it'll just be a rollover for Clemson. It'll be a tough one. So the next game is number 12, Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Now, obviously, Slayton, we've seen Texas Tech keep up with teams. Oklahoma State still undefeated. And it's at Texas Tech, which could be a little tricky for Oklahoma State. But I think Texas Tech just ran out of gas. I think after they played TCU, they kind of gave all that they could give. And they got that one team they competed with that's up there. So I'm going to take OK State in this one, 38-21.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got Texas Tech putting up 21 as well. OK State, though, I've only got putting up 30. I don't see them blowing this game out, especially being in Lubbock. But I don't think Texas Tech has enough firepower at this point in the season. At the beginning of the season, they were putting up points at will.
Yeah.
And they just can't
They're
get
a little
it done.
Banged up too, though.
Yeah, and right now they're just not getting it done on the field.
Yeah, and like I said, they don't really have a rhythm to them, Texas Tech. They can put up points, but they haven't been able to put it together consistently. And OK State has played pretty good so far this season, so that's why I'm taking them. This is an interesting game for a team here in the Mid-State, and that's Vanderbilt at number 18, Houston. Now, Slayton, I look at this game. I think Houston could put up some points, but the strong point of Vanderbilt's team is their defense. So I think the D can hold Houston down for a little bit, but it's all going to be dependent on Vanderbilt's offense and what they do, and I just don't have confidence in Vanderbilt's offense. So this one's going to be my lock of the week, Slayton. I'm going to take number 18, Houston, 26-17 over an SEC team in Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got Houston blowing this one out of the water, and it's for that very reason. I don't believe Vanderbilt's offense can stay on the field long enough to not let this Houston team put up points. And I've got Houston going up 56-14 over Vandy.
Whew, you got them smacking them, boy. You don't think Vandy's off – I mean, D can hold them to less than that?
Maybe the first quarter, yeah. But you got to think.
Got to have some kind of rhythm to you.
Well, the thing is Vandy's going to go on and off the field very quickly.
That is true.
And you're going to give Houston multiple chances. And even the teams that have done well at defending Houston, they come out in the second half and blow it out of the water.
That is true. I'd say if you're Vandy, this is what you want to do. You want to make the game as short as possible. You want to play good defense, keep Houston's offense off the field, and you want to be able to run the ball very, very well. Yep. And looking like they might try out a new quarterback, so who knows how that will go. They kind of ran a two-quarterback system last week. And if McCray plays, you know you want to keep it out of his hands. You don't want him throwing it a crap ton of times, which you could get in a shootout with Houston because Houston's known to put up some points. So, next game, Slayton, is also will be some interest here in the Middle Tennessee State area, and that is Tennessee visiting the Kentucky Wildcats. Obviously, Kentucky did not play well against Mississippi State last week. Tennessee played very good on the road at Alabama. Both these teams coming off a loss. Kentucky plays a lot better at home. I think this is probably one Kentucky had circled that they feel like they probably could win. But I think Tennessee has got their stride going a little bit. They've played well the past couple times they've played. And I just think they have a better team than Kentucky. So I'm going to take Tennessee. I'm going to say it's a good game, though. I'm going to take Tennessee 27-17.
Yeah, I'm with you. I believe this one's going to be close. I just want to point out, though, before I get into my score, I would love to see them come out and checker this game. Like, Kentucky come out with the blue checker and Tennessee come out with the orange checker.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see.
That would be.
So, Tennessee, I've got them winning close one by 4 points, 28-24. I don't think Kentucky's going to
– Man, they ain't going to lay down or anything.
I don't think they're going to lay down, but I think they're coming off a very tough loss in Starkville, and they got beat up.
Yeah, like I said, this is one, though, if Kentucky wants to be taken serious, they've had a bunch of these games already this season, but if Kentucky wants to be closer to the middle of the road, not towards the bottom of the SEC East, this is a game they got to have. And as far as Tennessee, this is a game you should win. The rest of your games on your schedule are games you should win, and you went out, you go 8-4, you make it to a good bowl game, win the bowl game, and things are not looking so bad at the Rocky Top like they were looking a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you see clearly that I didn't put a field goal when Tennessee scored. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I got two, so I'm having him bounce back somehow. So we'll touch on one more game before we touch on our two teams real quick, Slayton. And this one's a big one, I believe. Number 9, Notre Dame visits Philadelphia, and number 21, Temple. Temple's kept up Notre Dame before. Temple's played with Notre Dame before. This is a game that they play every year. Temple's ranked. Notre Dame's ranked. Notre Dame's a little banged up. Temple was pretty healthy. Just because I want Temple to win, and I didn't take Memphis 2 weeks ago against Ole Miss, and I wanted to, I'm going to take Temple on this one, 30-28, just because it's at their place and it's not at Notre Dame.
Boy, that's strong.
Hey, if they win this one, this is a big game. Hey, you're looking at Temple and Memphis. Now, obviously, they still got to play. But you look at these two teams. If one of them is to go undefeated, or even Houston, but especially Temple and Memphis, they'll both have a big signature win that could maybe put them in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, at some point, Temple and Memphis is going to play as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, if both of them
– if one of them goes undefeated,
yeah.
Whoever makes it out of them two would still have a big win that could help them.
Well, I mean, technically two signature wins because a victory over Memphis or Temple.
That is true. Yeah, so, good point, good point.
I mean, kudos to them. I don't think Temple comes out of this one alive. I'm going to be honest with you. Notre Dame, 35-21 Temple. I just don't think Temple has enough firepower. I think that they're about controlling the clock, doing their thing and trying to get out. Notre Dame's going to put up points.
Yeah.
And every time I bet against Notre Dame, they come out and throw up 40 on me.
Well, yeah, that has happened to me too. Then every time I bet on them, though,
they let you down.
They let me down. So me not betting on them, I'm just keeping myself away from them letting me down. I'd rather let Temple let me down. So, Slayton, my boys got a big game this week. And I say your boys have a pretty big game this week. We'll touch on your boys real quick because, obviously, the game in the SEC is probably a little bit bigger. Some bigger things to play for. So, your boys visit to Iowa State. Obviously, Iowa State, not necessarily a great team this year, but obviously not necessarily Texas's either. But having to play there at their house could be a little tricky. I'm going to call this one 24-13 Texas. I think Texas has kind of got their mojo going a little bit now here, and they got some of their tougher opponents out of the way. They got winnable games. So, say what you think about this one. I know you kind of are changing up the way you're thinking about it.
Man, this game is a trap. I mean, I know it is. I want to pick Texas because I believe that Texas is the better team. They've got the better athletes. But it's at Iowa State, and they always play so well at home for no reason. So I'm not going to pick this game because I don't want to jinx it, just because I need Texas to get the bowl eligibility. And I definitely don't want to jinx that on Iowa State. So
hey, I don't blame you. I didn't call the score for Florida and Tennessee because I felt like I was going to jinx it. So, hey, that voodoo worked for me, so we're going to hope it works for you. So we'll go into my boys real quick. And, Slayton, the way you kind of feel about this one is kind of how I feel about this one. I feel like we should win, but it's tricky because it's a big, big rivalry, and that's Georgia versus Florida. It used to be known as the world's largest cocktail party, played a neutral site in Jacksonville every week. I mean, not every week, every year, I should say. Slayton, this is for the East. It really is. Florida wins. They're looking at their next two East games, South Carolina and Vandy. I believe both of those to be very winnable. And they pretty much close the door on everybody else. Everybody else's chances to kind of sneak in and get the victory. So, Slayton, obviously I'm picking Florida in this one because I haven't picked against Florida all year, and I'm not going to start doing it now. I'm going to pick Florida 35-16. I think this one could stay close for a little while, just because it's Georgia, Florida. And you look at last season, Georgia should have beat Florida. Florida was not looking that hot, and they come in, and Florida kind of lays the whooping on them towards the end of the game. So I think it would be a good game. This game's tricky. Cody giving us weird looks about it. But I got Florida winning this one, like I said. I just think Florida has more firepower on offense, and I am pretty positive the defense is better. And I think we can hold Georgia in for the most part. So, Slayton, what do you think about this one?
This game's a pretty easy call considering that Chubb's out. I mean, if Chubb was there, this would be a much closer game. I really believe that.
I agree.
Yeah, I've got Florida winning 32-17. I don't believe that Georgia's got the firepower. I was pretty generous with giving them 17 because they've struggled with some mediocre teams this year to put up points.
That is true.
And Florida, I've said it all year, they've probably got one of the best defenses in the country.
Yep.
So I would like to see how they respond. I hope that this is a closer game. It's a good rivalry. And for Cody's sake, so I don't have to spit at him all week.
This is what I'll say about this. You look at Florida, you're in the driver's seat. This is what you got to do. But you look at Georgia, this is their season. This is probably one of, or if not the biggest game they got left on the schedule, so that's what kind of scares me because you know they're going to be hungry. They're going to want some revenge, but Florida should be hungry because they're both coming off a bye, so they both should be ready to play. So, Slayton, before we get off the air here, I want to ask Cody real quick. Cody, would you like to say anything about the game?
Nope.
He says no. He doesn't want to give his thoughts. He doesn't want to put it on record, but, hey, I don't blame him. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He probably does not have as much confidence as he did at the beginning of the season, and I would say I have more confidence than I did at the beginning of the season. So, Slayton, you got any final words you want to say?
All I'm going to say is that I called this at the beginning of the season with Georgia. I called it. I called this whole thing.
Yep, you did. So, go what? Go Longhorns?
Hook 'em.
Yo, I forgot you don't say go hung. Go Gators, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to the 10 for 10 U. And, hey, before we leave, make sure to tune in to In the Huddle every Tuesday at 6:30. Make sure to tune in to Slot Cars, our great show, a bunch of support for that show every Thursday, I believe at 7 or 6:30. So make sure to check out that. Make sure to download the podcast. Thank you for the support, and we will see you later. Hook 'em and go Gators.
We're done.
Boots and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants.